Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good afternoon,
Matthew. Good afternoon, Richard.
Yes, how the devil?
Not too shabby. Back after about a month.
Been a while.
It has, yeah. A lot has gone on.
A lot has happened. I mean, we've so many people crying out for the show. You know, people have been messaging me left, right, centre. So I can't imagine the amount of emails you must have received.
Inundated. Inundated. We're back, of course, and in familiar surroundings, different room.
It's familiar now because it does tend to be, for whatever reason, we've been doing it at my parents' house quite a lot recently. But this isn't a different room, and this is because my parents are away. I kind of feel like we're gate crashing. They're away on holiday, so they're in Florida for a couple of weeks. So it's meant that we have snuck into my dad's office, which I think we're probably the first people to come in here other than him for about 20 years.
And I'm going to say palatial. Palatial, because we are surrounded by Richard Lee shirts adorning the walls.
My brother's got a bit of an issue with this, because you come in here and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. If you're including pictures, we're talking about 20 shirts and pictures in here. And if you look around, can you see anything of my brothers? At all. I've got three younger brothers. Can you see anything? Anyone?
Genuinely can't. No.
Absolutely nothing. No. So they have a bit of an issue with this.
We've spoken about this a lot on the podcast, haven't we? This room.
Yeah.
This mythical room. And I'm now here so I can see. So we've got a 26. What's that? Lee 26. Who was that with?
That was with Fulham.
Fulham. Okay. Lee 30. Yeah, Premier League. Right. Okay. So good starts, but high numbers. So,
that was,
you know,
a bit younger.
Out of favour.
That was Fulham was very late on loan. Blackburn, very young.
Okay. Right. So, we go to 16s. Three 16s here. I'm guessing they're all Watford, aren't they?
Watford, yeah. They are.
We go round. We've got finally two ones. There are two ones.
Brentford.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And then the pièce de résistance, the 13s,
yes,
with an England crest.
There you go. Wow. Back in the day, indeed. Things you can't see as well, which I'll just draw your attention to, every single Watford program from the games I played are over there.
Wow.
So
yes,
every single old school program is sat there. So there you go. And every DVD of games that I played as well. So if you want a little bit of bedtime viewing, you're more than welcome.
Well, if you want something to send you to sleep, there you go. Get those DVDs.
Yeah.
Wow, they're this is one of the things, isn't it? I mean, this is for you, of course. It's a good thing because you're his son and he's keeping them. But I think a lot of people keep programs, don't they? Because they think, oh, do you know what? In 30 years' time,
I'll flick through them.
And that's going to be worth a lot. But actually, Watford v Kidderminster Harriers and the FA Cup in, 2001 is not going to be worth anything.
It's not going to be worth a lot, no.
What are the binders? There are some binders on the bookcase here
good
as
question.
Well.
With Watford, I don't know what they are. That is a really good question. But no, he did. He was very, he kept every single paper cut out as well. So that's all. There's a folder with that. So this is really very much next level.
It's great, isn't it? One more, a picture of you with Ryan Giggs. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
It looks like you are into that handshake. He's not so much.
I think I was asking for his shirt. That's probably why. You could see the value exchange in that picture wasn't even.
Okay, well, that's a good rundown of this office. We've got plenty coming up, haven't we? Plenty coming up. We've been away for a month, so that's a month's worth of transfers to get through. And of course, the EFL campaign started this weekend, so we're going to just flick through that too. And of course, the Euros.
Oh,
the women, they brought it home.
Absolutely, they did. So lots to talk about.
Shall we get on with it?
Let's do it. GK's on the way. I say GK's on the way. GK's on the way. I say GK's on the way.
Okay, so I've split these into clumps again, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're going to go through them clump by clump.
Okay.
Okay, the first clump is starting with Stefan Ortega, who has gone into Manchester City on a free transfer from Armenia Bielefeld. That is because two goalkeepers have gone out of the Etihad, one being Ari Muric, he's gone to Burnley, and Zach Steffen, who's gone to Middlesbrough on a season-long loan. One of two US goalkeepers, of course, who've gone from Prem to Champ, the other being Ethan Horvath. He's gone from Forest to Luton, also on a season-long loan. Brice Samba, also out of the City ground. That's on a five-year deal to Lens. And as a result, two goalkeepers have come in to Nottingham Forest. Dean Henderson on a season-long loan from Manchester United. Wayne Hennessy in from Burnley. That's on a permanent deal, undisclosed. And also one more in the Prem, Thomas Strakosha, has gone to Brentford from Lazio.
There you go. Quite the flurry. Mm. Forest is a really interesting one for me because I think had you have asked anybody as the season finished, they probably would have said that Forest don't need to do anything in the goalkeeping department. You know, obviously, Brice Samba making such a name for himself back into the season in the playoffs, obviously gaining promotion in the way they did. So you kind of assumed he would then be the one in the Prem. Ethan Horvath, when he did step in, did well. So you thought that he would be the two. But yeah, it just shows you how quickly things can change. And it's interesting for Horvath and for Zach Steffen, given that, of course, the World Cup not so far away. Because I did wonder going into that World Cup where you've got Matt Turner, who was performing so well in the MLS. Now he's gone to Arsenal. Whether he will start or not, probably won't. Of course, Ramsdale being there, Zach Steffen, you would think then as long as he plays and plays for Middlesbrough, that will probably put him back to number one for USA. You've got Sean Johnson doing really well over at New York City as well. So, yeah, that whole American number one, not that it's maybe as much of interest to us in England, but I know that that place is really up for grabs in the World Cup. And, of course, they've got England, haven't they? So it'll be really interesting to see how Zach Steffen and Horvath do in particular in the championship, because you just feel that one of them is going to have a really good chance of starting that game.
Of course, that is a conscious decision by both of them to get the game time. But interesting as well, I know there weren't really many openings in the Premier League. The fact that they've both dropped down into the Championship, Zach Steffen being a Manchester City number two to step down into the Championship.
It's a good point. I guess I wasn't... You kind of look at it slightly differently in that, again, where does he go in the Premier League? Does he then go to a Forest? But then if Forest have got the choice out of a Dean Henderson, who has played Premier League and done it in a similar team in terms of a Sheffield United having to stay in the league, and he did it, then that makes much more sense for a Forest. If we're going to think and try and think of other examples now who've gone for ones in the Premier League. But I think it's that, like, he almost needs to fit a certain mold. Where he fits at Middlesbrough, it's a top championship team that are probably fourth or fifth favourites for promotion. I see it. I guess the biggest thing for him and for City will want to see that he can go out and play a full season. No doubt then he'll come back into the fold next season. But obviously the big thing for him is the World Cup. I think had he stayed at City as a two, I think then Matt Turner, I get the impression, is probably ahead of him as we speak. I mentioned Sean Johnson's doing really well over there as well. And had Ethan Horvath got some games at Luton, then it could have meant that Zach Steffen would have fell down the pecking order. But I think as long as he can do well enough at Middlesbrough, then I think he will start in the World Cup.
Just a quick word on Muric. Good to see him get some game time at Burnley. And Strakosha as well, highly sought after. Manchester United apparently also in for him.
Yeah, that's big for Brentford. You felt they needed to do something there. And that's no disrespect to Fernandez, but it is big shoes to fill with David Reyes. So you just feel that maybe this is a better fit. And in terms of Muric, it's one that, again, it's so interesting in that he went to Forest, only played a handful of games, maybe two games, might not have even been that, but he had two poor games from him. It might have even been one game. But it's amazing how many people you speak to, and that's tarnished him quite badly in England. But then he's gone abroad, done really well. And to be honest, when I saw him play for City before, and I actually did some research on him years ago for a club, and I really liked him, you know, in terms of size, the way he moved, had everything. And I thought, oh, he's really going to kick on. He'll be a real challenge to Edison. And then, of course, had a tough time at Forest, and we haven't really seen him since. So again, it's the fact they've spent a few million on him as well, which is the biggest transfer for a championship team for quite some time. So obviously Vincent Kompany's done his homework and went all out for him.
Okay, the next batch, John Ruddy into Birmingham from Wolves. That's on a one-year deal. Dean Boutsanis, a big move for him. 3 years to Reading from Sutton. Stefan Bajic has gone to Bristol City unattached. That's on a free transfer. Alex Bass, spoken about him a lot on the podcast. He's gone into Sunderland from Portsmouth. That's undisclosed. And that's allowed Lee Burge to go to Northampton from Sunderland. Dylan Phillips has gone to Ostend from Cardiff. That's on a season-long loan. And Nathan Baxter doubling up his season-long loan from last season, Chelsea to Hull. That's happened again. And Matty Ingram has also signed a three-year deal at Hull, staying at the Tigers.
There we go. Where do we start here? Bouzanis, as you mentioned, great move for him. I think that one was out of the blue to an extent, but certainly a great opportunity for him. Interesting, Ruddy, to Birmingham, because I know there's quite a few that were in for that. Again, just from what I'm hearing, it doesn't sound like in the Championship, you know, isn't maybe the goalkeeper market that it was a few years ago. And I do wonder whether, because John Ruddy, no doubt, will have had plenty of people interested in him. Whenever he stepped in for Wolves, he's always been excellent. So I quite like this in that, you know, I did wonder whether Birmingham will go for a loan, just given, I believe they've got certain financial restrictions and what have you. But the fact that they've been able to do the likes of a John Ruddy, I like it for a couple of reasons. One, I think he's a really good fit for Birmingham where they are at the moment. And then from his point of view, I can imagine that, you know, he's getting a little bit older now, to go in and just be a number one. And this is no disrespect to Neil Etheridge, but, you know, for someone like John Ruddy, who's got the career and had the career that he's had, to go in there where he's going to be busy, they're going to need a character like that. And I just think it's a really good fit. So no, I was pleased for him to get that move. Dylan Phillips, one that obviously I know very well, being involved in. Just a real fascinating situation at Cardiff that emerged, you know, where they had Ryan Allsopp, Jack Hanick and Dylan Phillips. And it's one of my beliefs, you can't have three goalkeepers that all want to be a number one. I just don't think it works. I think if you're going to go for three goalies, you need one that is happy to be a number three. And if you haven't got one of the three that's happy to be that, then it's always going to be very difficult to keep that goalkeeping dynamic together. And I've given this example a lot recently, which is, it's all well and good if you're playing a game of Championship Manager or Premier Manager, whatever it's called now, where you can look at it and you've got three top goalies in a squad. Of course, that's great. But when you're actually dealing with three human beings that all want to be a number one, it just doesn't work. The goalkeeper department then becomes difficult to handle for the goalkeeper coach. The manager's going to constantly have goalkeepers knocking on his door wanting to play. And really what ends up happening is all three of them underperform because none of them ever really claim the shirt when you've got that kind of competition. So I think it's a good move for Dylan. I think it puts him very much on the map in terms of European football as well, playing over there, playing against some massive teams in Belgium. And the fact that it's still a loan, it still leaves the door open at Cardiff if things were to change in a year's time.
And Alex Bass, big move for him.
Yeah. And this was out of the blue as well, because obviously not getting the opportunity at Portsmouth, and Josh Griffiths obviously signing at Portsmouth. So yeah, it's quite unusual for a goalkeeper to move up. I get the impression that Sunderland will still do another one. That's my what I'm hearing. So whether he's going in as a two or a three, I'm not too sure just yet. Probably a three, obviously, given how, and certainly Patterson did brilliantly last season, did well again at the weekend. So, but from his point of view, I guess if you go into a Championship club like that and you're able to carry on your development, especially if you're not playing at the likes of a Portsmouth, for me, that is a big move forward. And if anything, it's a new environment, which often I find with certain keepers, they just need, where Alex Bass has got huge, huge potential. For whatever reason, Portsmouth weren't quite seeing that in the last year or so. So to actually just get a brand new platform where you can go and start again, and, you know, a massive club like Sunderland, I think it's perfect for him.
On to the next lot, Josh Griffiths. You've just mentioned him there. He's gone into Portsmouth from West Brom on a season-long loan. Pombe have also brought in Josh Oluwayemi as a free agent. Lucas Jensen has gone into Accrington, also on a season-long loan from Burnley. Edwin McGinty into Oxford from Sligo Rovers. And at Preston, Di Cornell has come in from Peterborough and Connor Ripley has gone out to Morecambe.
Yeah, lots again. Good move for Di Cornell, certainly to go in there and be a challenge. I'm sure he would have been delighted with that to stay at Championship level. Josh Griffiths, as you mentioned, he's building a really nice CV at a young age. You know, obviously playing, getting promotion from League Two, the number of games he got in League One last season. He's gone to a bigger club, I think it's fair to say. Obviously still in League One, but again, in terms of his progression, his development, racking up the number of games, the amount of learning that he will get from that and playing in that environment as well. You know, not an easy place to play with, you know, quite a passionate crowd, etc. So no, I think it's great for him, and you'd think that then his next step will be Championship, whether that's challenging back at West Brom or realistically another loan potentially next season. But he's really following the perfect path, I would say, at the moment.
also in League One. A lot's happened in League One and League Two, and you feel like plenty more is coming too. Joe Wildsmith and Scott Loach as well have both gone into Derby. Wildsmith from Sheffield Wednesday and Scott Loach back in the EFL from Chesterfield. Jamie Cumming doing exactly what Nathan Baxter did by staying with the club he was at last season on a season-long loan. He's gone from Chelsea to MK Dons. Villami Sinisalo, Aston Villa to Burton on a season-long loan. And Cheltenham, of course, two went out of the door, Flinders and Evans, and two have now come in the door. Luke Southwood from Reading on a season-long loan and Sean McDonald from Torquay. That's on a free transfer.
Yeah, well, Luke Southwood's an interesting one because I think he started last season brilliantly at Reading and for whatever reason wasn't fancied in the latter stages of the season. So for him, I do think, because you look and he's obviously got a good number of championship games under his belt now, but he still needs to add more games. You know, he certainly was very impressive when he started last season. So I think this is a really, really good fit, you know, to go there and hopefully for him rack up a season's worth of games at that level and then no doubt step back into the championship next season. So I was really pleased that one came off for him. Jamie Cumming, yeah, I did wonder whether there might be championship interest there. You know, certainly last season for them, well, he did so well at Gillingham and then so well at MK. Obviously, they got, 89 points or whatever it was, and he was certainly a standout player. So he did wonder whether he might step up again. But I think it's a really good fit, certainly the way that he plays, the way that MK play. So look, no doubt he'll have another strong season building that CV all the time. I'm sure that this time next year it will be championship options, if that's not with MK. Because obviously, they'll be one of the stronger teams, you think, in League One. I mentioned Loachy, obviously my former teammate, really pleased for him. It's a nice role that he'll go in and do that. I think Derby will bring in another one, so it'll be more of that sort of three, but he's now perfect for that, where again, that older pro, good number of games to his name, great lad around the place, etc., can offer a lot of advice to the younger goalkeepers. So yeah, I just think it's the perfect role for him. Location works well for him as well, massive club. So yeah, great move for him. And Wildsmith, as you mentioned, who obviously played at the weekend as well, solid performance there. Again, we talk about goalkeepers that just sometimes need a fresh start, and I think that was very much the case for him.
And League Two, for the first of two lots here, Sam Hornby into Colchester from Bradford on a free. That's because Shamal George has gone to Livingston from Colu. Big move for him. And now we get into Gillingham and Crawley, where it's all been going off. Jake Turner, Ashley Maynard Brewer, and now Glenn Morris have gone into the Gills from Newcastle, Charlton and Crawley, respectively. Maynard Brewer on a season-long loan, and now Glenn Morris on a sixth-month loan. As a result, two goalkeepers into Crawley, Corey Adai, he was most recently with Esbjerg, and Ellery Balcombe from Brentford, that's on a season-long loan, both playing at the weekend because Balcombe went off injured at half-time.
Yeah, and hopefully that's not too serious because I've heard it could be a bit of a nasty one, but obviously he deserves a break, Ellery. It's been a tough couple of seasons, but did really well back end of last season at Bromley. So yeah, hopefully it's not too serious and he's back very soon. Yeah, lots going on, certainly at Gillingham, and part of that was Ashley Maynard Brewer picking up an injury, which, you know, gutted for him in that it was a shoulder injury, which he felt last season, felt again. So he's had that repaired. So he'll be out for hopefully not too long again. But that meant they had to bring in another goalie. Obviously decided to bring in Glenn Morris to compete with Jake Turner there. And I mentioned Shamal George because that's, you know, player of the season last season at Colchester. Missed part of the season, but then finished the season very strongly. And yeah, interesting move to go up to Livingston, SPL. Obviously, I have this conversation quite a bit in that, you know, the sort of, you know, people sort of ask what sort of level is the SPL, and it is just so difficult to quantify because you have got your huge teams, and then you have got a couple of teams that you could argue are maybe League One, League Two level. So, but someone like Shamal George, then to move from a Colchester to go and play, I think as a step, it's very, very good, because I think then if he does well at Livingston, of course, it could open up the bigger clubs in Scotland, which is significant. But then naturally, you know, you do see, like a Jack Anik this summer, there is the possibility of coming back. And when you do, you come back down to the championship.
The second batch of League Two, Jamal Blackman on a one-year deal into Exeter. Jack Rose from Walsall to Sutton. Ross Doohan now permanently with Tranmere from Celtic. Michael Kelly, a one-year with an option from Bray Wanderers to Carlisle. And that's because Mark Howard and Magnus Norman both went out of the door at Brunton Park in the summer. Mark Howard has now gone to Wrexham on a free. Kieran Slicker, good move for him. His first in professional football, from Manchester City into Rochdale on a season-long loan. Also a season-long loan is Vitislav Jaros and Christy Pym. Jaros from Liverpool to Stockport, and Pym, of course, from Peterborough. New manager, but no return to favour there. He's gone in into Mansfield, and Arthur Okonkwo has also gone in to Crewe on a season-long loan. That is from Arsenal.
Yeah, interesting in regards to Jamal Blackman. And I hope he gets a real good run, because I just feel that, I know he had the bad injury at Leeds, wasn't it? And it's been a bit tough for him since then, because it really was early on when he had the loan to, was it Wickham, Sheffield United, etc. You kind of felt like at some point he would go back and really challenge at Chelsea. It just wasn't meant to be, but you just hope something like this, with the amount of ability that he does have, and no doubt he'll be quite busy this season. You know, Exeter did brilliantly last season. It's obviously a much tougher league, League One, so it'll be really interesting to see how he does. But it is a really good opportunity for him to get himself very much back on the map. Kieran Slicker, I mentioned, he's another lad that I work very closely with. He's had a bit of an injury, so he's only just got himself fit. So he'll go in there, first taste of men's football. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on, challenging Rich O'Donnell, of course, who's the goalkeeper at Rochdale at the moment. And lastly, Christy Pym, who, fascinating journey he's been on. But what I love about Christy Pym is that he's constantly playing. You know, he got the promotion from League One to the Championship with Peterborough. As soon as he had the feeling that he wasn't going to be playing at Peterborough, obviously had the fallout with the manager there, didn't mind dropping a couple of divisions to get the games in. And once again, he's gone to League Two. And some people might look at that and say, well, you've got promotion from League One. But I love the fact that he just wants to carry on playing. You know, I think he's a really good fit there. Obviously, with the experience, he's shown that winning mentality with Peterborough. So I think Mansfield are going to have a real go this year. You feel like they've that's quite a coup for them.
Okay, and just to clear up the rest, Scott Maloney, Barrow to Guiseley, six-month loan. Harry Tyra, Everton to Chester, season-long loan, as is Dan Langley and Marcelo Pitaluga. That's from Newcastle to Gateshead and Liverpool to Macclesfield, respectively. Ryan Hammond going into Nottingham Forest from Millwall. And the best of the rest from Europe and up north in Scotland, of course. Alphonse Areola and Matt Turner, their moves to West Ham and Arsenal, both confirmed in July. Joao Virginia has gone to CS Cambuur on a season-long loan from Everton. Ilaya Caprile has gone to Bari, so he's left Leeds now. That's a permanent deal. As has Kiko Kasia. His contract was terminated by Leeds. Andre Onana, much spoken about as to where he was going to go from Ajax. He's gone to Inter Milan on a free. Mark Birigitti has gone to Dundee United from Central Coast Mariners. Gary Woods into Kilmarnock from Aberdeen on a free. And Remy Matthews in as what you would imagine a number one at St Johnstone on a season-long loan from Crystal Palace.
Yeah, there you go. Loads of goalkeeping movement over the last month. Just to mention Remy, because pleased for him in that he's, by all accounts, done really well at Palace. And often you don't hear about number threes. Like when he did leave to go as a three, quite often a year, 2 years, 3 years can pass and you almost forget that a goalkeeper's there. But it's quite nice what they've done in that they've given him an additional year on his contract. So he's also signed an extra year. So he's still got 2 years left at Palace. And I think the game plan very much is get out, get a season's worth of games in. Again, great level to go and get your football in. No doubt he'll be busy. So perfect for him. And then he'll return back to Palace next season.
And I know you like talking about coaches as well. There has been a bit of movement, hasn't there, in the goalkeeper coach world. Scott Fry has gone from the Wolves Academy to Lincoln as the first team goalkeeping coach. Lee Turner stepped down as Millwall goalkeeper coach. That allowed Andy Marshall to go into Millwall from Birmingham because Mike Taylor had gone into Birmingham from Walsall, which meant Dan Watson has gone from Cheltenham to Walsall. And Tony Warner, big move from Bristol Rovers to Reading.
Yeah, it is. It's a real, and there's a few more actually added to that. It is a real merry-go-round. It's the same as it. It's very, it was quite difficult for like a young goalie coach to get a first team goalkeeper coach role. And I speak to a couple of young goalkeeper coaches about this, where they'll get 23s roles, but to break through and get that first team gig can be quite hard. And a lot of it's because of what you've just mentioned there, is that one leaves and then straight away another established one steps in. So it's difficult. But a couple there in particular, Andy Marshall, of course, going in at Millwall, who he played for. So nice there. But that was literally within a day of him leaving Birmingham. Mike Taylor going into Birmingham. Of course, Mike Taylor played for Birmingham as well. So that's quite a nice link there. But it was this whole merry-go-round of goalkeeper coaches moving on. And I still think there's one or two more that will move on as well in the next few weeks.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Okay, so ardent listeners of the podcast will notice that's a new jingle.
It really is. Funky.
What do you think?
I quite like it.
Yeah?
I like it. It's catchy. Look, it's a new season.
It is.
It's a new season. We need to change something.
You've got to freshen things up, right?
This is getting so old. Let's be honest. How many times can we keep talking about the same things? And yet we're still here.
I just felt like the old EFL Overview jingle was just a bit tired now, you know, a bit tired, needed something new.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you do. You see something, you feel something.
You do.
This is it. And you just knew. Now was the time.
So this is the EFL Overview. Very quick, this one. And we'll start in the Championship, where Zach Steffen, on his debut for Middlesbrough, very nearly caught out by Jed Wallace on his debut for West Brom. It was a cross-come shot, wasn't it? Tipped over by Steffen. He was lauded by Don Goodman on the co-commentary for his footwork. It ended one apiece. David Button, also now very much the number one at West Brom, also making his debut was Ryan Allsop, Cardiff beating Norwich 1-0. A solid start for him as Romain Sawyers netted the winner, which Dean Smith, don't know whether you saw this, claimed was a pass and not a shot. Tim Krul in goal for Norwich there. And Ben Amos back with a double spread and save. Love to see it. Troy Parrott and Emil Rees denied as Wigan and Preston played out a stalemate.
Yes, indeed. So the Zach Steffen save, it was a top save in the end. Interestingly, it was from a clip to the fullback, which he didn't quite execute. And you could see he was quite a way out of position, didn't quite get back quickly enough. And it was, like you say, a cross-come shot. It was a cross, it looked like. And effectively, it was like the David Seaman, Ronaldinho moment. But credit to Zach Steffen at that point, where he is badly out of position at that point, did move his feet very well. And it was the creativity, I suppose I'd use the word, in order to, you know, when you're in that position, you can panic sometimes and try and scoop it, try and catch it, to actually get the perfect palm to tip it up onto the bar and over, I thought was very, very good. Ryan Allsop, as you mentioned, made his debut, made an excellent save down to his left-hand side, very composed performance, big result for them. And yes, Ben Amos, really good double save this. Great save to his left. That was actually, for me, goalkeeper intelligence. Like, he really read the situation and he knew where he was going to go. He went early to his left to make the save. And then it was a classic Ben Amos spread. We do enjoy a Ben Amos spread, and it was. He made himself so big. Brilliant save.
Rotherham and Swansea also ending all square, thanks to Victor Johansson in ahead of the now fit again Josh Vickers. He made a decent late stop from Jamie Patterson. And speaking of Patterson's, Anthony made what I think was a phenomenal tip onto the bar from a Jonathan Panzo strike as Sunderland drew with Coventry, and so too did Thomas Kaminski. Although this one, it looked like, or it sounded like, it was completely unnoticed. Osman Kakai with a rasper for QPR, fingertips onto the bar from Kaminski. Moments later, Blackburn bagged the opener and they win 1-0.
Yeah, goal kick given. One of those classics.
Loved his reaction.
Yeah. You could tell instantly that he knew him, mate. No, great save that. Really good save from Johansson. Back on himself again. Read the situation well. Up to his right-hand side. Very powerful. Andy Fisher had a real good game for Swansea as well. Three key saves in this one. Actually watched this game. Really enjoyed the performance from both goalkeepers in this one. And similarly, I watched the Sunderland game, and it was a top save. It was the fact that it's moved on him a bit. You actually see his movement. He moves to his right and then has to go back to his left, just because the ball's then gone away from him. And it's the smallest of fingertips again. But without that, that does end up in the top corner.
Couple more to finish. Bart Bielkowski very nearly having one creep over the line in what would have been the opening keeper capers of the campaign. But he saved himself. He managed to claw it back in a win for Millwall over Stoke. And in League One, James Trafford, two good saves to bag a point for Bolton in their opening game at Ipswich.
Yeah, so the Bielkowski one, it was one of those horrible ones, sort of like a Rob Green against USA type where it's just got through him. Credit to him though, the speed at which he turned round, got back and got a hand, and it was right on the line where he's managed to get a palm to it and scoop it back, and in the end obviously got a clean sheet as well. So a good day for him in the end, but as you say, certainly a moment where his heart would have been in his mouth, I'm sure, for a second or two. And yeah, James Trafford, great save up to his left, header back on him, moved his feet very well, and actually the second save was good also, moving across his goal, good save with his legs. Clean Sheet Club. It may well be a new season, but we're still pulling out the same old things. It's time for this. And in the Championship, Muric, new club, new clean commencement. Thomas Kaminski doing the cam-cam. Dan Grinshaw, back fit and freshly washed. Ryan Alsop, debut blank. Ethan Horvath, double debut blank. John Ruddy, triple debut blank. Bart Biakowski, some saves, different day. Ben Amos returning to the second tier. Freddie Woodman beginning with a blank. Dan Backman, you'd back that man. Into League One, Dimitar Mitov picking up where he left off. Joe Wildsmith, first league start since November last year. Connor Ripley, bow blank. Marco Morosi, don't tame the shrew. Michael Cooper, here he goes again. Tyler Dickinson, off the mark on his EFL inauguration. Into League Two, Nick Zanev, Don. Harry Lewis off the mark on his EFL inauguration, MKII. Jonathan Mitchell, not a pig if you're a Rovers fan. Thomas Holy, game number one and done. Pete Jameson off the mark on his EFL inauguration, Mark 3. Lawrence Vigouroux, oh so good. Tom King, cha-ching. Owen Evans, how else to finish but with another debut blank. Right. I was wondering.
It just never fails, does it? It never fails.
I just wondered
just
what
something up.
MKII. I had no idea what that meant.
So that's obviously Mark Two. Now you get that, right? Get that okay, now. Good, yeah. good. Yeah. Okay, no table, of course, because they'll all be on one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of like the Premier League table after a game.
Yeah. But we had to do it. We had to cover it. Of course, the Premier League starts next season, and that's next week. Sorry, and that's when it really starts to kick off. But something else that did kick off over the weekend was the fact that England won the Euros, Richard. The Women's Euros has been going on this summer, and there's been plenty of talk about the goalkeeping, plenty of articles about the improvement and the emergence of young goalkeepers across Europe now, and indeed the world. And I think we need to pay particular attention to Mary Earps, who had a very, very good tournament, particularly in the semi-finals and the final, where she made, I'd say, three, but probably five to six very, very good saves.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Certainly the save, top hand, tip over the bar was fantastic. The save she actually tipped onto her near post / crossbar, where she's gone with the top hand across herself to the left. Again, top save, because that's going right in the corner, top near post corner, and it struck with power. And the speed of reactions and the, you know, athleticism that she showed was excellent. I know that was quite a bit made about the Sweden game, which was nice to see the amount of people that mentioned her performance, because although they won the game 4-0, obviously some crucial saves in that, could have been a very different story on that night. So it's, I think what I've enjoyed is that as dominant as they've been, you know, it was 8-0 in the group stages and, you know, winning a quarterfinal 4-0. Like, so naturally, the your goal scorers are always going to get a lot of the credit. The fact that her name has come up so many times in so many games, I think, says a lot about her. But then also, as you mentioned, across the board, I think where, yeah, let's be real about this. It wasn't so long ago that there was a lot of comment about women's goalkeepers and, you know, so many conversations about it. And naturally, we talk about in the men's game that there are issues further down, that there's still not enough kids that want to play in goal. Now, I think it has improved in the men's game and like young boys that want to play in goal. I think over the last few years, we're seeing more goalkeeping icons and a bit more notoriety about the position. We're starting to see more goalkeepers at younger ages wanted to play. But you can imagine in the female game many, many years ago, of course, that would have been next to nothing. Like, you know, which young girl wants to play in goal? Whereas now, I think over the last few years, with more and more emerging and becoming icons, and the fact that she did so well, naturally, it's only going to see hopefully more and more young girls that want to play in goal. And we actually see it with the goalkeeping schools that we run. The girls-only goalkeeping schools are really popular now. And I know, to give a shout-out to one of the coaches, Ian Biggar-Dyke, who does quite a few sessions for us, coaches for Arsenal ladies as well. And the amount of girls that have come through his academy and have gone on to various clubs now, it's huge. And it's something that I think 10, 15, 20 years ago, it's just unheard of. So, look, it's heading in a fantastic direction. I think we're already now at a point where the conversations that may have been had not so long ago aren't being had anymore, certainly when it comes to England, because, yeah, I thought she was, if not the standout player, certainly top three in the team.
Had a bus named after her too.
Right.
I don't think a goalkeeper has had a bus named after them before. And I was reading an article from her grassroots coach who says he reckons she did ballet as a kid, and he reckons her ballet training has made her a better goalkeeper just because of more flexibility, quicker on her feet.
Yeah, 100%. I think, I mentioned before, like the basketball training that I used to do, but I used to do gymnastics. I don't think I've spoke about that, but I did that to quite a high level when I was, high level when you're 8 or 9 or whatever. But I look now, and then where I was as a goalkeeper, I suppose quite well known for being agile, flexible, powerful. You know, a lot of the movements that you pick up as a kid from doing different sports, naturally. This is why we say to a lot of the young goalkeepers, don't just do goalkeeping. Do as many different sports as you possibly can. Allow your body to do all these different types of movement. And certainly sports that are going to benefit goalkeeping. And ballet, without knowing too much about ballet, I could imagine that would be huge in terms of a lot of the movements you're having to do, the power in the legs, the calves. It's going to then relate very much into becoming a better goalkeeper.
Okay, Richard, that is us for this week. We'll be back properly, fully next week once the Premier League starts. So Between the Sticks shall return.
Fantastic.
Richard, thank you.
No, Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Keepers
away.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.